So this morning, we're beginning a two-part series on the Old Testament book of Ruth. And Ruth's story is particularly powerful as we begin that downhill run into the season of Advent. In order not to spoil the story for you, I'm going to let you discover on your own as we go for the next two Sundays why this story is so powerful. But I will say that Advent is a season of expectation. And the story of Ruth builds that expectation perhaps better than any other story in the Bible. So let's begin with Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This first chapter of the Old Testament book of Ruth opens with the story of Naomi and her husband Elimelech of Bethlehem of Judah. And in the days before kings, when judges ruled the nations from about 1200 to about 1025 BC. And as the story begins, our focus is on Naomi. She's a wife of Elimelech. She's a mother of two sons. She is the everyday, ordinary Jewish woman who is busily tending her house and her family. And then suddenly a great famine in Judah causes Naomi and her family to pack up everything they could carry and move to the land of Moab in order to survive. In an instant, Naomi is now displaced, distressed, and her normal life as a wife and mother has been radically changed. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been going through life well established in your routine when all of a sudden the bottom drops out? Everything is going fine in your household, and out of nowhere, the breadwinner gets laid off from his or her job. A family member becomes seriously ill. Natural disaster strikes, and you lose everything. There are so many different scenarios I could mention, but I think you get the idea. For whatever reason, suddenly life as you know it is fundamentally changed. And from your perspective, not for the better. This is where Naomi finds herself. So Naomi and family restart their life together in the land of Moab. And they haven't been there all that long when, again, out of nowhere, Elimelech dies unexpectedly. So now Naomi is not only displaced, distressed, she's also a grieving widow. Can we even imagine the thought of being in a strange land, far from home, and losing our spouse, losing our companion, our provider? It's tragic, but as we often find ourselves in our experiences, when tragedy strikes, life doesn't pause, it goes on. We don't get to put the game of life on pause and sit out a few plays. We don't get to take a break from our circumstances. We might try to do that. But I think we're only fooling ourselves if we think that we can remove ourselves from our circumstances on our own power and on our own terms. And so, as we would do, Naomi and her family does, they adjust once again to their new circumstances. Naomi's sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, and life continues for a time. But as they enter their 10th year in Moab, Naomi's sons die. Doesn't say why. And that leaves Orpah and Ruth as young widows and leaves Naomi as a woman with no hope for a future, no hope for remarriage, no hope for a living except through charity and the kindness of strangers. And I wonder how much more Naomi can endure. She's been through so much pain in her life, and now on top of all that, she's destitute and without hope. And I wonder how many of us have been there. Have we been hit hard in the game of life, brought crashing down to the ground, and then while we're laid out and helpless, it seems we're mercilessly kicked and piled on? Has that ever been a place where you've been? So, realizing the bleakness of her situation, Naomi decides to return home to Judah, as she's gotten word that the famine is now over. So she and her daughters-in-law head out for Naomi's home in Bethlehem without any idea what is left for them there. Is the family property still there? Is the house still standing? Has a distant relative taken it over? Has a stranger claimed it as their own? Such uncertainty lies ahead for them. But such is her circumstance that even that is better than her lot in Moab. And so they head for home. Now, while they're on their way, Naomi has second thoughts about her daughters-in-law. And she tells Ruth and Orpah to go back to their mother's home in Moab so that they can at least have a support system. She tells them they're young, and they have an opportunity to remarry and have a life in Moab. Now, tearfully, Orpah chooses to go back to Moab, and as it says here in the scripture, she returns to her gods, whoever they may be. And that, for Naomi, is even more pain, more despair, as she, for all intents and purposes, loses yet another child as Orpah goes back to her old ways. But Ruth chooses differently. Ruth chooses to remain with Naomi, and she tells her, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." And so Naomi sees her determination and her desire to go with her, and she doesn't bring it up again. What a depressingly tragic and awful story, Pastor. Thank you for making my rainy day all the more depressing. Well, I'm truly sorry for that, but there is a point to this little book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Because you see, what started as a tragic account of a Jewish woman called Naomi now shifts its focus to a Gentile woman named Ruth. And Ruth is an extraordinary woman, as we can already see. She's a woman of youth and beauty, the Bible tells us. A woman of intense loyalty. While Orpah returned to her Moabite life, a life separated from the one true God, Ruth saw that her future was different. The path that she would take would be different. She wanted to go with Naomi. She wanted to be a part of the people of God. And she wanted to abide with Naomi and her God. Now, the truly remarkable thing about this little book of the Bible is that the experiences of these key individuals in the story are representatives of God's much larger plans for his people. Naomi and Ruth are types, representatives of a bigger picture, a deeper, lasting narrative that we as the people of God have a part in. And as we complete this journey with Ruth next week, all of the pieces will fall into place for you, and you will see the hand of God moving not only in the lives of Ruth and Naomi, but in your own lives as well. And we should all have a Ruth in our life. We should all strive to be a Ruth in the lives of those around us. loyal, steadfast, faithful. These qualities will serve Ruth well as her story unfolds for us next week. And you will see that Ruth's story is really our story. Her experience is our experience as a people, as the body of Christ, as the church. And I don't want to say too much and spoil the rest of the story for next week, but I'm going to leave you with this. Through the tragedies and the tribulations of our lives, we can sometimes be overcome with the weight of our circumstances. And what we have to remember through it all is this. God is working ahead of us. He is reaching into hearts and minds we haven't even thought of yet. He is moving in the world, making a way for His work to be done. And it is by His grace that we work. And when we surrender, His will be done and His kingdom comes. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.